Marilyn talked last week actually about the God of promises. What an amazing topic. But one of the promises of God is that when Jesus was resurrected and went back to be with the Father would send us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes, as we said, to live in those who have accepted Jesus into their hearts and are living for Him. One of the blessings of this is that the Holy Spirit brings the fruit of the Spirit with Him, right? So as He lives within us, then that fruit of the Spirit is within us too. As we read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And as you can see, we're going to talk about gentleness today. We've been talking over the past number of weeks about this fruit as being dry logs, which we can put on the fire of the Holy Spirit, which makes that fire burn bright with inside us. And as I said, today we're going to talk about the dry log of gentleness. And as that fire burns bright, it draws others to the kingdom of God. When we look at the definition of gentleness, the first thing that usually comes up is that it's an act of being gentle. Great, you know, it's not much help. But, you know, as I continued to look up definitions of gentleness, I finally came on to the online Cambridge Dictionary definition. It stated gentleness was the quality of being kind, calm, and soft. It is not being violent, severe, strong, or sudden. Kind, calm, and soft. Not being violent, severe, strong, or sudden. Sort of brings to us in images sort of an image of a mother stroking the daughter's hair, or a father cuddling his newborn child, or children with rabbits or kittens or puppies, you know. This sort of what gentleness this picture sort of brings to us. And for the most part, our society would say that those who are gentle are weak. They're weak. They get walked over. They get stepped on. They get laughed at. And for the most often, they're ignored. Our society sees them as spineless people who are not able to stand up for themselves. If this is what gentleness is, most of us would say, it's not a characteristic which I want. I mean, I don't want to be walked on. I don't want to be laughed at. I don't want people to look down at me because I'm gentle, because they think I'm weak. But before we make that decision of not wanting gentleness, let's take a look at what the Bible says about gentleness. The biblical meaning of gentleness is mixed with strength and power. Gentleness isn't just being weak and mild. It's mixed with strength and power. It is mildness or meekness of spirit, taking care not to harm others. It is power in control. It's like a picture of an elephant who wants to eat a peanut, but it's in the shell, so the peanut's on the ground, and he takes his leg and steps on the peanut, but only breaks open the shell and doesn't crush the nut. Now, that's all a big myth. Elephants don't really like peanuts. very much. They don't eat peanuts in the wild and all that. But that's an awesome illustration of what gentleness would be like. It's having the power to completely crush that peanut, but being able to just stop gently. And you can go online and see lots of pictures of elephants with their foot right on a person, being, and they could just crush that person. But that's an awesome illustration. One writer stated that gentleness is kindness of behavior founded on strength and prompted by love. Kindness of behavior founded on strength and prompted by love. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake. And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. Let me sort of put this verse in context. Absalom is King David's son. Yet Absalom had conspired against his father to take the kingship right away from him. Absalom had been deceitful and gathered men around him, and they were going to come and take the kingship from David. So as Absalom approaches Jerusalem, David flees with most of the people in the city. Absalom comes, continues to move forward. He takes over Jerusalem, sets up in Jerusalem, and does some pretty wicked things there in the light of day. After King David has fled to another city, he hears some intel about what he should do from some of his commanders and things, and he gathers together his men and goes to war against Absalom. And just as the men are going out to war, this is when King David said, be gentle with the young man Absalom. Now this gentleness David is asking for is completely opposite to what Absalom deserves. Absalom deserves to die for treason and all the vile things he's done. King David has the power and the authority to have him put to death. Yet King David, out of kindness, prompted by love, wants to show his son gentleness. Let me share another similar example of gentleness from the New Testament in John chapter 8. We read of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. They bring a woman caught in adultery before Jesus. And they say to Jesus, now Moses said that in the law that he'd given us that this woman should be stoned to death. Now Jesus has the power to uphold the law and the sentence her to death. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they want to know what Jesus is going to do. So he stoops down and writes in the sand, and he tells those in the crowd around him, the one without sin can cast the first stone, should cast the first stone. And one by one, the accusers all leave without picking up a stone. And in John chapter 8, verse 10 to 11, we read, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. What gentleness. Jesus doesn't humiliate the woman or condemn her. He doesn't say, what do you think you've been doing? Like, this is crazy. Why are you committing this adultery? He didn't do that. He doesn't do it in front of the people. He doesn't do it when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law have left. He doesn't do that. And in fact, I noticed as I was looking at this illustration and looking at it, this piece of scripture, he treats those accusers, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, with gentleness too. He doesn't say, "Hey, Mark, what about your sin? And Joe, what about your sin? And Frank, what about your sin? Remember when you did such and such?" Jesus just stoops down, writes in the ground. We don't know what he wrote. Maybe he wrote sins, but he never put the sin to the person. And just said, "The one with sin casts the first stone." Wow, what gentleness, eh? Isn't that the way our Father in heaven treats us as sinners? Isn't that the way he deals with us? He doesn't go, "Scott, you did this and this and this and this and this. I told you before the story about my addiction, how I would, when I was stuck in my addiction, and how I would come around and I would hit that crossroad, and God would say, 'Scott, you need to go this way.' And I'd go, 'No, it's too rough.'" And he wasn't strong and harsh and forced me to go that way. He was a gentleman, and when I said it was too hard, he just let me go on my own way. He's a gentleman, and he's gentle. He's so gentle. Gentleness is part of God's character. We notice when he's speaking to Elijah in the Old Testament, God doesn't speak to him out of the powerful wind. He doesn't speak to him out of the earthquake. He doesn't speak to him out of the fire. For we read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, and the last half of that verse says, "And after the fire came a gentle whisper." That's the way God speaks to us. After the fire and the earthquake and the wind, he just comes and says, "Let me speak to your heart. Let me share with you who I am and what I want you to do." He spoke to Elijah in a gentle whisper. When the Lord speaks to his children, it's not harsh and demanding. Oh, it can be firm and convicting. No, maybe not for you folks, but for me, there's been times when it's been firm and convicting and filled with strength and authority, but it's still with gentleness, filled with love, as we noticed with the woman in adultery. It wasn't pounding on her. Then in Zechariah 9:9, when Zechariah is prophesying about the coming of Jesus, we read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, the colt of a foal of the donkey." Their future king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus himself, is coming. But he's not coming with the pomp and ceremony of a military ruler. He's coming gently and in humility, riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey. He has all the power, but he's riding on a donkey. Jesus even describes himself as being gentle when we read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus says, "I am gentle and humble." What an amazing God we serve. To say someone who is filled with gentleness is just a pushover, weak and spineless, would be to describe King David and Jesus as weak and spineless and a pushover. But I don't think we see that. We didn't see that of King David, and we don't see that of Jesus. We know they're filled with gentleness, but they were also very strong and powerful. They both subdued all those who stood against the kingdom of God. To get a better picture of gentleness, let's take a moment and look at some more illustrations, more examples in the New Testament. In John 4, we read of the Samaritan woman who Jesus encounters at the well. Remember her? She has had five husbands, and the man she was with was not her husband. Jews didn't meet with Samaritans. They didn't talk with the Samaritans. And yet you would think that this would be a woman that Jesus wouldn't even have a conversation with. Yet he stops at the well, and his disciples have gone, and he says to the woman as she comes to the well, "May I have a drink, please?" And she sort of answers, and her response isn't very kind, really. She says, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. How is it that you ask me for a drink?" You can just see that, you know, like, what are you doing talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. We don't have anything together. But Jesus still continues to talk to her in gentleness. Why? Is he afraid of her? Is he afraid that someone might see them together? Or worse yet, is he afraid that she might leave and go and tell people that Jesus talked to her, a Samaritan woman? This Jewish religious leader talked to her, a Samaritan woman. Is he afraid? No. He responds gently because he saw beyond her reputation. He saw a thirsty and needy person, a person who needed his living water. He saw a person who needed restoration, and with gentleness, he restores her. What does she do? She goes back to her community and says, "Come and see the man who told me everything about me. Could he be the Christ?" See, the gentleness is all about restoration. Why did Jesus respond with gentleness to the adulterous woman that we talked about earlier in John 8? Well, I mean, clearly she is guilty of adultery. Jesus again saw a woman in need of a change in her life, and in gentleness offered her that restoration with the Heavenly Father. We read in Luke chapter 19 about Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the wicked tax collectors that nobody likes. And we see that Jesus doesn't come and speak harshly to Zacchaeus, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree. I want to go to your house. Let's have a meal together. Let's just talk." Why does he respond to and talk to Zacchaeus with gentleness? Because he knows Zacchaeus is a man who needs a Savior. and he gently restores him and his relationship to God. Over and over again, we read of Jesus gently restoring people with their Father. Again, I want to say that Jesus is not and did not compromise or whitewash the truth. He wasn't a pushover. He wasn't just, oh, well, that's okay, Zacchaeus, if you ripped off the people. Oh, that's okay if you had an affair. Or that's okay, you know, you're a Samaritan and you don't believe. It wasn't like he just was meek and mild and just pushed the truth away. He still held firm to the truth, but he shared it in gentleness. Paul understood the importance of being filled with gentleness. And he wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. How does a mother care for her children, her little children? She cares for them and she relates the truth to them with firmness and gentleness. Don't touch the stove, you'll get burned. Be careful, dear. Or, that was wrong. And the result of that is that you're going to get a spanking. And then, I love you. I love you so much. And I just want the best for you. Isn't that the gentleness of a mother caring for her little children? And Paul knew that, because Paul knew that he could have been a burden to them. He could have come to them and said, look, you need to provide all my needs. I'm the pastor, I'm the apostle, and you need to care for me, and you need to do this and this and this and this, and he could come down heavy on them. But Paul was firm, but came in gentleness. In fact, he even asked the Corinthians if they would like him to come with a whip or in a gentle spirit. Because Paul knew that a gentle spirit would restore the relationships with one another and with God. But he knew a whip would only drive them further away. Harsh words drive people away. Each one of us is called to put on that dry log of gentleness on the fire of the Holy Spirit. We are to pursue gentleness so that we will not be a stumbling block to others. But through gentleness, we are an open door for them to see the gentle love and grace of our Heavenly Father. Paul exhorts in Ephesians chapter 4, 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be gentle. Be gentle with one another. And then listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. This is a pretty clear picture of why we need gentleness in our lives. We need to instruct people in gentleness. We need to share the gospel in gentleness. Why? So that they will repent and understand the knowledge of the truth. So they will come to their senses and escape the grips and the chains of the enemy. It's all about bringing others to a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. How do we, as the Lord's servant, treat those who have differing opinions and values? Those we come up against, those who maybe even react. How do we react with others who outright oppose us? Are we quick to put them in their place? Oh, man. I used to be able to be really quick to put people in their place and make sure everybody else knew they were wrong. And it doesn't do it. It doesn't work. God calls us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that's gentleness. Chuck Swindoll wrote that gentleness was strength under control, being calm and peaceful when surrounded by a heated atmosphere, emitting a soothing effect on those who may be angry or otherwise beside themselves, and possessing tact and gracious courtesy that causes others to retain their self-esteem and dignity. It's not breaking and damaging the other person. Gentleness is lifting them up. Gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. It is a tender, compassionate approach towards others' weaknesses and limitations. A gentle person still speaks the truth, sometimes even painful truth, but in doing so guards his tone so that the truth can be received. I'll tell you, there's times I've spoken the truth. You can ask my children. I haven't spoken it in a way that can be received. The gentleness of the Holy Spirit is all about keeping the door open for others to come and recognize their need of a Heavenly Father, of His love and His redemption. May we follow Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, where we read, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Just in case we think we can get away with it, the Lord is near. He's always watching us. He wants us to be gentle as He is gentle. He's the one who will leave the 99 and come and take care of the one. He's a gentle Father. As we are gentle, this will be another log to make the fire of the Holy Spirit burn bright for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gentle touch on our lives. Thank you that you're not a harsh God. You never speak harshly to us, and you never rub our face or our noses, as it were, in our sins. But you gently bring us to a place where we see your love and your compassion, your mercy and your grace. Thank you for gently moving us by your Holy Spirit. Father, may we be those people of gentleness as well. May the fruit of gentleness be evident in our lives. May we, when we speak to people, be gentle, not compromising the truth, but sharing the truth in love and gentleness. That others would find the gentle Father who loves them and knows them and wants to walk with them and guide them and lead them and make them to be a better person as you've made each one of us. Lord, may your gentleness be ever evident in our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.